And we walked, you know, like you see sometime in the movies, you walk.
So it was before the laundry job.
Yeah, the laundry.
So you went in the forest.
Yeah, because not for a long time. Then I worked there, and I walked. And what you see is snow, snow, and snow. And what do you think? A piece of bread, a soup. And in my mind was my mother and that child and what's going on there. And we are here living like animals.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This was the most tragic moments. But when I got in the laundry, I got used to it, and I lived the life of a real prisoner, a laundryman. I walked out with laundry hanging on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
It was not dry, so on the ropes. It was 65 degree cold, and I walked out with this. You believe it, no?
Why?
Because it was sunny, beautiful.
Uh-huh.
The cold.
There was no wind, nothing.
Beautiful sky. But the cold was so. I told you, you speak peace. You made. yes.
It's
you know how many guys froze the toes? One guy, when I was in the laundry, carried water for me from the river. He came up and he started yelling, itching him here. And listen to this. This is a guy I knew, he was carrying water from the river down to me for the laundry.
Yes.
And he was screaming, you know, the nose and here, you know, the finger. And he let down the pants. The penis was like white like a snow.
Ooh.
And he touched it and fell off. Oh. You never heard of this. So I run into the pharmacy, not pharmacy, the laboratory, whatever, a doctor there, and I had a Russian-Polish guy, a very good friend of mine, he worked for the doctor as a nurse, and he came in, he saw those things already, and he put a bandage there, and he walked around like circumcised. He fell off, like a piece of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And sent people went through, because he carried the and he was wearing those Russian heavy pants.
Pants.
But here was, you know,
was
like
open or
not? I don't know. The frost went through. This I saw with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And toes. How many I saw falling off from guys?
But you did never got the toes.
No. No, nothing. Except this,
yeah.
I believe dirt went in from the washing. That's what I didn't hurt myself, nothing. And suddenly it started getting red and then green, and you know, until, you know, here, take a look, this and this. Here,
yeah.
Here's no bone.
Yeah,
the bone came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wind up in that tailor shop. So where was I before, after?
Well, we are now in the summer of 1942. You're out of the gulag.
Yeah. And I went to the tailor shop.
Tailor shop. And you became a supervisor.
Supervisor. So people were stealing those pieces of fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And one day came an investigation. I don't know from where this come. An investigation that came in a horse with a sleigh, maybe 8 or 10 people, and they start searching, looking around, that somebody, they were told that the fabrics there is missing. And there was a guy who was that Lovchenko,
mm-hmm.
who organized us to come there. He
mm-hmm.
was the supervisor for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very shrewd thief, you know. He was mm-hmm. a prisoner before, but that time he was a free man already. A Russian guy.
Yeah.
And when they start searching, nobody knew from us. I didn't know what's going on. And there was a well where we got water, Mm-hmm. Somehow they knew somebody must tell them this, that what's going on here. That supervisor, that Lovchenko, knew that they're going to come someday. So he throwed in the well hundreds of yards fabrics for dresses, cotton things. So they went down with the anchor. You know what's an anchor? Mm-hmm. And they pulled out fabrics and fabrics. And everybody looked. Everybody was scared. And the same time, that supervisor, Lovchenko, arrested.
Mm.
And they took him with him. And he was... He went through a trial, and they gave him another 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back as a supervisor, but as a prisoner.
In the same place?
Same place. You understand?
Incredible.
He came back, and he was, you know, talking about... He didn't talk too much, but he talked about people sold him out. Some people from his... sold him out, and he... He lived the same life as a prisoner this time, 10 years again. So when I saw that, and I was that supervisor, I was just a supervisor in the shop. There was another guy, because it was two shifts, day and night, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of mine. And we, nothing much to do, but, you know, take care who came to work and gave out those pieces of fabric, like 2 yards for each. So I got scared of this, that people stealing, and who are they? They're all my friends. I will not sell them out, tell them that they're stealing. You know what I did? I quit the job, and I was lucky they let me go. And I walked from that tailor shop to the station. I took the train to a closest small railroad station, they call it Vozhael.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were essentially afraid of that happening again and you being caught. Why did you leave?
Because I was scared I shouldn't get caught, but I get involved. And that's, I don't want to get another 10 years or 5 years, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to work there anymore with people stealing day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't steal because I was the supervisor. I could steal, but I got to go quick into jail again. Mm-hmm. I mean...
So you resigned?
I resigned.
And went where?
To a neighboring railroad station. Call it Vozhael. No, not Vozhael. I'm sorry, take away Vozhael. They call it Knyash Pogost.
Knyash, that's a difficult one. Knyash,
yeah. Pogost.
Knyash Pogost.
I'll tell you what that means.
Gost.
I'll tell you what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Knyash, this is a language, they call it Komi. You saw on the map?
Yeah.
Komi SSR?
Mm-hmm.
Komi Republic?
Mm-hmm.
The whole area what we're talking about is Komi.
Mm-hmm.
Like White Russia, Ukraine, this is Komi.
Mm-hmm.
That Komi, by the Tsar, nobody knew that their people existed. The people from the, by the time from the Tsar, didn't go so far north. This was, and those people, the native commies, they call it commie, they look like a little like Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and they speak their language.
Mm-hmm.
So, Knyash means like a prince.
Mm-hmm.
Pogost is a cemetery. In their language, it's not Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they call it Knyash Pogost.
Years cemetery for a prince.
For the prince. There was that land, that area, used to be, I don't know how many years ago, back was a prince. And there was there a cemetery. And they called the whole area the town. The railroad called it Knyash Pogost.
Okay.
What else you want from me?
Well, you arrived in Knyaz Podolsk.
Yes.
And what did you do there?
I arrived in Knyaz Podolsk, and I just walked around. I didn't know where to sleep. The first day, when I arrived, I walked around near the depot from the locomotives.
Mm-hmm.
And I never been close to a locomotive in a depot to see those big machines.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an office, and it says in Russian, workers needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in that office, and there sits a man by name Baranov. Why I remember those names?
I don't know. I'm absolutely flabbergasted that you remember those names.
If I switch one name, like I said before, Vojeli Gashpogos, I said that I corrected right.
Mm-hmm.
Vojeli was where we were freed
mm-hmm.
from the Gulag.
Mm-hmm.
This was the headquarters from the Gulags.
So what was his name?
Baranov.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in, you know, my Russian was very well, better than French, naturally. And I said, I sign, work is needed. And he said, what do you know? I said, I know nothing. Do you want to work? I said, yes, I came to get a job. What job can I get here? I would take any job. He said, you want to work in a locomotive? I said, yes. A locomotive are three people working. One is the engineer, the machinist.
Mm-hmm.
Second is his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is the kachigar, they call it in Russian. Kachigar means who feeds the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the...
The fire.
Fire, you know. In... oils the wheels. And I remember there were between eight, depend the machine, between 8 and 10 different oils.
Mm-hmm.
For each part was a different oil, and you have to know what's what. So I learned. It wasn't bad. And
so this was still in 1942, in the summer.
It would be still in 1942, yes.
In the summer.
But
it was not too cold.
No, no.
Okay. So you got the job.
So he said to me, come tomorrow that hour to work, you know. He told me right away that I should get dressed, you know, not in a tuxedo, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a fourth person in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
What is the fourth? To watch what they're doing, especially that in the guy who was oiling or feeding the machine with the wood.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this, and I was watching everything, what the work is on that machine. And we traveled, or north or south, 1,500 kilometers, 1,200, I don't know, depended. I can show you, I was in Vorkuta.
Mm-hmm. But there was an engineer that was responsible for it.
Oh, sure, sure.
And these people were just helping feed the fire,
no,
oil the...
One was the engineer, was the machinist, they call it, mm-hmm. or they call it machinist or the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Then was assistant machinist.
Mm-hmm.
And then was the third person, the feed, the furnace, you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the fourth person to learn.
Okay.
So I made three trips.
Wood feeder and observer. Okay.
So I made three trips as a fourth.
As observer.
Yeah. And the,
then
I became a real one.
What did you become? A wood feeder?
Yeah, wood feeder and oiler.
Oiler. Okay.
Well, we were traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I learned not only to work on the machine, I learned how to make a piece of bread.
How did you learn that?
Well, when you travel, I saw what the other people do with the machinist. Wherever you stop, you buy something, and then you sell it.
Ah.
You know, they call it black market.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were standing, you know, a lot of those, what do you call, prisoners from the Gulag, were had, you know, how do you call those animals with the big...
Deers.
Deer. They used to kill a deer very easy, cut him a piece, wrap around a leg, and stay in the rail station, sell him. For what? For tobacco? And if you have vodka, you could buy a few deers. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we had always a half a deer hanging there and put in the oven, cooking. You understand? So since I start working, food was no more problem. You understand?
So, yes, and the trading things were vodka, bread,
tobacco.
Yeah. Tobacco and vodka mostly.
Yeah, and then anything, a mattress, a pair of pants, any schmatter was material.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But vodka was the top dollar.
Even more important than tobacco?
Yes. I mean, I can't, but for vodka you could buy a half a ton, you know.
Okay. So this went on for how long?
Then,
you know, the three trips were three long trips?
Well, yeah, not whatever.
Do you remember the route and the starting station and the ending station?
I started always in Knyaz Pogost.
Uh-huh.
And we went up to Uchta, Pieczora, or to Kotlas.
Knyaz...
Was my headquarters was Knyaz Pogost.
Knyaz Pogost. Okay, to and back to where? Uchta?
Back and forth, you know. We had, you know, the all of those, the each machine had a car behind the machine, which was made those to sleep in a little oven there, which burned wood naturally. And there we worked, you see, we went one side, one brigade. Back, we went in there to sleep, the other brigade to call.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So whoever was there slept and cooked. And there was always what to cook. No problem.
Okay. So did you go not only to Uchta, but to a lot of places from there?
No, we didn't. We didn't go. We had there was only one
line.
One line, north or south.
Mm-hmm.
South we went back to Kotlas, north we went up to Pieczora there, Uchta, Pieczora, depend what, you know, we were carrying all kind of, what do you call, loads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of loads? Coal, wood?
Oh, south was mostly coal to the war, to the cities.
Mm-hmm.
One time we went farther than Kotlas with coal, and we went to Leningrad.
Mm-hmm.
This was a big trip, and we came close to Leningrad to start bombing.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed all the time Leningrad for Finland, and when they start, we heard bombs. So the machinist, we drove in the train with the coal in a dead dead end, you know, where there's no. And we took with the machine and we went back and we run away. I mean, we had everything legal. We left the train with the coal. We were maybe, I don't know, 10 kilometers from Leningrad, but we heard the bombs. So the machinist talked to the, what do you call, supervisors there from the station that we should go back. And from here, they separate those cars.
Yeah, government triage.
In the send, in the send
in back different direction.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't far from Leningrad. And I figure, oh, I run away so many times from the war, and now here.
In the middle of it.
If they can see the calls, they're going to bomb us, naturally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You hungry?
No, I'm just looking at the time, and we're just, where are we? We are in the middle of the war. War in Russia, we are in 1942.
Oh, I want to give you a little picture from one trip, which was very interesting.
Okay.
Coming down from the north, someplace. And each railroad station, or we had to stop, we needed to load wood on the machine or put in water in the machine, you know, the water, the locomotive goes on water. Or we had to stop because there was a single line. So we had to stop, wait till a train comes from the south, okay? So one day, we were very close from Knyaz Pogost, from home. And the machine, he goes maybe, I don't know, very fast. I don't know, 75, 100 kilometers an hour, something like that. Very fast. And the machinist is responsible. Let's say we need water. He decides if we're going to stop or we will not to stop. Not to stop means we have not far to go. So maybe that water will be enough. So he makes the decision. I couldn't, I wasn't. So he said, we'll go because we had...
This was in your train or the other train?
Our train.
Oh, okay.
Our train.
But you said, coming down from the north one time, at one stop, to pick up either water or fuel,
you decided not
to stop.
Oh, the machinist decided not to stop. Because we have enough water. Woods, we had enough. This I saw. But water, I didn't know. He's decided. I didn't have nothing to say about. So we come closer to home, Misha. Guess what happened? A horse is standing on the middle of the railroad. A horse. The machine, and there was maybe 60 cars. You know what means 60 heavy cars with coal? Coal. You know how many tons of coal are there? And there's a horse running on the railroad. They used to walk around, you know, grazing. But here he's in the middle on the track. And he walks on the track. The machinist signals and signals and signals, and he don't run off. He runs straight. And that railroad that time was in such a high thing, you know. You understand what I mean? The road for the railroad was in a...
Oh, on the Monticle.
Yeah, Monticle, yeah. And then was it was special built that way because in both sides, and there was a lot of grass, weeds, and mud. So this had to be built higher. That horse don't
move.
He runs fast.
Ahead of the train?
Ahead of the train. He was, let's say, a kilometer away, but the machine goes so fast, and everybody was standing with shit in the pants because we're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And finally, I was standing, I went, he told me the machine is, I should stay in the front and throw him a piece of coal. I mean, what was going to help? I throw it, I didn't mean it. And the horse run, and we run over the horse. We run over the horse, and he finally stopped the train, and the horse was cut in half in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to me, and the machine, we all three had to climb down with pails to bring water because we didn't have any water in the machine. Water from the mud and wash off the blood from the wheels. But who couldn't do it? You saw all of it was pieces of meat, you know, mm-hmm. the horse was crushed to nothing.
Yeah.
And we stayed there and we don't have water in the machine. The machine could blow up because it was a lot.
The heat.
Temperature went so high, it was unbelievable. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And there is no water to cool it off. And
so what happens?
He stopped the train. We couldn't move. We don't have water.
Okay, so what happens?
We stayed there, and the closest station realized what happened, that we stopped. We didn't know what happened. Right away comes the KGB
mm-hmm.
with such an under railroad, with such a
mm-hmm.
small thing came, and the, you know, KGB comes, everybody, you know, gets crazy. And then it came a big locomotive because ours was cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't do nothing because it didn't have water. And who the hell knows, I don't know till today if something happened. Those pipes
may have destroyed some of the pipes.
Be, you know, could, I think so. Anyway, that second locomotive pulled us mm-hmm. into the station, to our station. And everybody went home. And not too long ago, not too late, there's a trial.
Mm.
You know, the machinist got 10 years. And the assistant got 5 years.
And you didn't get it.
I was in the trial. I was sitting there. I thought I'm going to, and they asked me a question. And I told them the way it was. The horse didn't,
mm-hmm.
but why he got the 10 years? Because he should have stopped and filled up more water. If he would fill up water and the horse get killed, he would come into the station. It was enough water.
Yeah,
but because he tormoz means he slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
No, he braked.
Yeah, there was
because he braked. Mm-hmm. He lost the water for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you couldn't shut off the heat.
Yeah,
inside was burning. What are you going to do with that? Oh, you know what we did with mm-hmm. that water, with the mud, what we carried up. We throw in the water and the fire to shut off the fire. But you know what helped? The fire inside.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And this was, I'll never forget that. I was at the trial. That the machinist, they took him away in the 10 years and 5 years. That is Soviet Union. It's his responsibility. He shouldn't have stopped. This was my experience in the railroad. But I had enough food. Naturally, I got immediately another machine, another group, a brigade, another brigade. And then I saw my name in the wall there, that I'm going to be sent to the North Pole to build a mm-hmm. new railroad there, to continue the railroad from...
But where did you see the sign?
In the office from the Ojo Kadrov, where you know what means Ojo Kadrov? You know, where you get a job, how do you call that office here?
Oh, given a charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, I pass by and I see that they have a list there on the wall who is selected to go up north to build a new railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And this was from us maybe 2,000 kilometers north to the farthest. Next to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. I went crazy and I went in to that director. He belonged to the KGB. And I said, I cannot work. I have sciatica, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, you're going to get there a job. What you do here? And I was working that thing, so it's a hard job. But I don't want to go there. And he said to me, you'll go where we sent you.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know really. I went to my doctor for the sciatica, and I told you, I think, this.
How does that sound?
From the pipe, the water.
Okay.
Or you flushes the water. And I said to that so-and-so, my sciatica, and I start walking like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there was a nice lady I used to support with mm-hmm. Things, bread, mm-hmm. flour, whatever I could bring her sometime. She gave me a receipt that I cannot work this week. She gave me a paper that I cannot work anymore, physical work, because of my sciatica. So I go in, not to him anymore, because he treated me like a dog. I go into the office where a few people sitting there, and I show that paper, and they said, okay, well, I want to get free from them. You know, to resign altogether. But I said, no, we'll give you another job. So you know what the other job was?
Mm-hmm.
I was a travel agent. That's why I was in Arkhangelsk.
Okay.
In that time, this was a job. I would go now for that job.
Okay.
I was several times arrested because of that job, because I was traveling in a... what do you call it, executive car,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming back from Arkhangelsk, I travel, and what they sent me there, it's a long story, but it's not important what they sent me there, with kind of people from, you know, Muslim people, which they sent to us to work, and they couldn't work, they couldn't speak, they couldn't work, so they sent me back with them to Arkhangelsk.
Is it a good time to stop, or you want to continue?
Yeah, I could stop, you could continue, whatever.
Well, we are now in 42, so we still have, I want to go at least tonight through 1945, the end of the war, or is it a lot more? Yeah, there's a lot more. So we'll see how far we got.
So where do you want to go to eat?
Later on, we'll go to eat. Or we'll order or whatever.
Whatever
you want. I'm really up to you. I'm enjoying that. So it's...
What time?
Whatever would please. It's only 5:15.
I want to hear from you. Do you want to bring the food here?
However you feel.
Would be easier.
Yeah, that would be good.
We didn't go down till now.
No, that's
we
fine.
Okay, so...
So I'll stop that for the time being.
Huh?
I'll stop that from the time being.
Okay.